my name's Angie, and I'm the preschool and the connections director here at Alive, and we're so glad you're here. Our pastors are away on the vacation weekend, like Maddie said, and at Lake Michigan, enjoying some relaxation and some refreshing and just a time to connect with their family. We have been in a summer playlist called, we've been in a summer series called the Summer Playlist, and it's just been really knowledgeable to get into the Psalms and to see what the Lord is speaking to us through that. You know, the Psalm is a song, so we're literally listening to God's playlist, and it's been so good. And the first week, Pastor Erica talked about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And as God is our shepherd, he protects us, he causes us to rest, and it just gives us a time to trust in him. And the second week, Pastor Erica talked about Psalm 139, about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made, how God knows us intimately, and how that he is omnipresent. He's with us wherever we go, even from our start in our mother's womb. And then the third week, Pastor Jeff Jones from Valley Family was here, giving a Father's Day message, and it was let us listen in as he read the letter that he wrote to his sons, and it was very meaningful. And then last week, Pastor Erica taught about Psalm 42 and the sons of Korah, how they separated themselves from the sins of their father and how that they put their hope in God. Amen. This week, we're learning about Psalm 103, and it's so powerful. It's actually one of my favorite scriptures. We're going to read it in just a minute, but I had a friend who was dealing with cancer, and I asked this person, I said, you know, are you standing on any verses? And I recommended Psalm 103, and you guys are going to see why in just a minute. So if you have your Bibles, pull out your Bibles, or go ahead and watch on the screen as we get into what Psalm 103 says. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103 is powerful, right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word that comes forth today. Lord, I thank you that our hearts will be good ground to receive that word, Lord, and that we would become doers of this word. And Father God, bearing fruit in all things. And we bless you and thank you for this opportunity to share the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, did you guys notice the way that Psalm 103 starts and ends is the same Same way. It's bless the Lord. And how do we bless the Lord? We give him glory. We give him honor. We give him praise in all that we do. And David said, not only bless the Lord, but bless the Lord, oh my soul. And we know that our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, right? And not only that, but he was saying, bless the Lord with everything that was in him. That means his whole being was blessing the Lord. That's so amazing to think about that. And that's what we can do, right? We can bless the Lord with our whole being. In verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, but forget not his benefits. So the title of my message today is God's Benefit Package. I wanted to tell you, so a lot of people, when they're looking for jobs, they look at the benefit package. They look to see whether they have good vacation pay. They look to see if they have good medical insurance, whether it includes dental or vision. They look to see if they have retirement savings. They look to see if they have maternity leave, a paid maternity leave. One of my relatives, she has a four-month paid maternity leave, and then plus gets money every year to go towards childcare. Who wants to work there, right? Then I have another friend that works at a company. They have unlimited PTO hours, and it's like, how do they even do that? You know, how does somebody not take advantage of the system? And she said, actually, what happens is they don't take enough PTO time. So there is that too. But what qualifies you for the benefit package? When you think about it, usually you have to be a current employee working 20 to 40 hours a week, right? Or you have to be there for the mandatory 90-day probationary period. And then you also have to have a satisfactory job performance. But with God, there's only one requirement, and that's believing in Jesus. Amen, amen, yes. So the only thing that qualifies us for that is to believe in Jesus and all the things that he did on the cross. It's already paid for us. So we're going to look at Psalm 103, and we're going to pull these benefits out of these verses, and you're going to see that God has good things in store for you today. So the first benefit that we're going to talk about is he forgives all our iniquities. That means our sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins, right? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most of us know this when we become born again. That's the Holy Spirit drawing us to him, knowing that we're going to have our sins forgiven, knowing that we're going to be a new creation. The Bible says that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away and all things become new. Well, when I became a Christian, that's what drew me. I wanted that forgiveness. I wanted that fresh start in life. I was 18 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I was at Wickiwatchee Water Park. I don't know if anybody's ever been there or heard of it, but So I was 18, I was there with my aunt and my two brothers and my aunt's friends, and we were just having a great time, but we were in line for a water slide, and I was telling my aunt, I said, you know, I just feel like I'm searching for something, and she grabbed my hand, and she goes, oh, I just know what you need, and she goes, you need to ask Jesus as your Savior, and I'm like, okay, you know, not really sure what I was saying yes to. So we went back by her friends, and her friend Michael led me to the Lord, and then I immediately got baptized in one of the pools there, and the onlookers were saying, hey, what did you just do to her? And Michael said, you know, we just baptized her, and the person there said, I didn't know you could do that here, and Michael said, we just did. And you know, it's just been such a wonderful journey since then. I immediately moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I worked at City of Faith Hospital, and I was just surrounded by believers. It was so encouraging. I was like in this little cocoon in Tulsa, and it was just amazing, and that's where I met my husband of 40 years, and, well, almost 40. It'll be 40 in January, but yeah, it's so cool. Serving the Lord is awesome. But I also want to say, did you guys know that God has forgiven us of all past, present, and future sins? When Jesus died on the cross, he died once for all. That means everybody, but that means also every sin, right? In Hebrews 10:12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And Jesus isn't going to get back up on that cross every time we commit a sin, right? It was one sacrifice. He only had one life to give, and he gave it for us. You remember what he said on the cross? It is finished. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. I was going to look this up before I got here because I'm not really good with directions. But when you think as far as the east is from the west, that's eternal, right? They're not going to meet. And that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. And you know what the Bible says? He cast them into the sea. That's from the book of Micah. So we don't have to think about those sins, right? And guess what? God does not remember them. It says that in Hebrews and Isaiah. So not only did he cast our sins into the sea, but he also does not remember them. One of my Bible teachers was saying that for God to remember our sins, he would have to forget what Jesus did. And that's not going to happen, right? Jesus paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. I'd like to share a story with you guys it's about Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know who's familiar with Corrie Ten Boom, but her and her family were watchmakers in Holland, and they risked their life to try and save the Jewish people. They would hide them in a concealed room in their house, and they saved hundreds of Jewish people from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were arrested and put in a concentration camp. She also wrote the book, The Hiding Place. Has anybody ever read that? Yeah, so good. She survived the Nazi concentration camp called Ravensbrück. Betsy did not. She unfortunately died of malnutrition. And this is an event that Corrie recalled. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to read it to you because it's pretty moving. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had just come from Holland to a defeated Germany with the message of God forgives. It was the truth they needed to hear most in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind. I like to think that that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. As people were filing out, that's where I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw the overcoat and brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein, how good it is to know, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember that one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had every day to be forgiven, could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply by asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do, for I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, and that is that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it, not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple as and as horrible as that. And I still stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. What an amazing story. A story of forgiveness. You know, it's a reminder to us that God takes our sins and casts them into the sea, and we shouldn't go fishing for them. The second benefit that I want to talk about is God heals our diseases. It's in Psalm 103, verse 3. And the word heal is a Hebrew word, and it means Rapha. Has anybody ever heard of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer? Rapha is the primary meaning to heal, to cure, and to restore. Makes me think of the leper, the one leper that went back to thank Jesus and how he was restored. It's God's action towards us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Amen. God provides healing for us because of the stripes that Jesus bore on his body. Healing is ours. And you know what? The Bible says that he heals all our diseases, and all means all. That means arthritis. That means cold sores. That means migraines. You know, all means all, no matter what it is. I want to encourage you, if anybody has ever taken Basics of Healing, it's an amazing class. And if I could encourage everybody to take it, it happens in May. If you've already taken it, take it again. Because you know what happens is we get the Word of God planted in our heart. And when we get the Word of God in there as a seed, you know what? What happens is then the harvest comes and when we need it, right? But we got to put it on the front end. Put that Word of God in your heart then, because seed takes time to grow. It's like training for a marathon. You don't wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'm going to run a marathon. No, you have to train for it. So that's how it is with healing, is you have to get the seed, God's word, in your heart. I want to tell you a story about my son, Zachary, and if he's listening, he's probably thinking, oh, no. So when he was 10, he developed a little nodule on his knuckle, and I took him to the doctor, and his family doctor knew right away that he thought it was arthritis. And so we took him to a specialist at U of M, and the confirmation was true that he had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And at the time, they pointed out some of the things that was going on that I didn't even notice. And it was like his wrists didn't go in here. They were very thick and solid. And then he had some swelling at his knee. So when he walked, he kind of like didn't really bend his knee. It just kind of went out like a circumducted gait. So what they ended up doing was they put him on some medication. It was strong medication. One of them was called methotrexate, which is actually a breast cancer drug. And we prayed. We were believing God. But that doesn't mean that I didn't go to the doctor's appointment every time with him with tears in my eyes, thinking, you know, this is going on. And, you know, it's kind of like a doom and gloom. It's going to get worse kind of thing. And it was interesting because when he was there at the doctor's, it seemed like every time we went, he had to get his blood checked all the time because of the medication. So we went to the doctor a lot. But every time we went there, things kind of started getting a little bit better. His joints were getting better. He was getting stronger. But that's not to say that first year wasn't tough. It was really tough. The medication made him sick. He was trying out for a soccer team, a travel soccer team, and he got cut. But what ended up happening was his previous coach called the new coach and said, hey, you know, he's just having a bad day. He's really good. He's teachable. He's got a great attitude. And so they put him on the team, and, you know, he played his heart out. But what happened was at the end of that first year, Dr. Haftel said, we're going to start weaning him from these medications. And then it was a year later, so 2 years total, he's totally healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, we serve a healing God. Amen. Before we move on to the next benefit in God's benefit package, I want you to see Isaiah 53:5. It says, there we go. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Did you notice the similarities between Psalm 103, verse 3, and this verse in Isaiah? It's amazing. It's saying why we are healed, why we are forgiven. It's because of what Jesus went through on the cross. It says that he was bruised for our iniquities. That's our sins, right? And by his stripes, we are healed. This is on Isaiah, and he says we are. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says we were. Because Jesus had already died. How amazing is that? You know, they call healing and forgiveness of sins the redemptive twins. You'll hear that if you take Basics 401. It's the redemptive twins. It's he took our sicknesses for us. He took our judgment for us, right? So we can be free to just serve him and to walk in that. So when you have the thoughts that come to you reminding you of the things that you did, you know what you need to do? It's kind of like what Jesus says. Use the word, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I used to deal with that quite a bit where it's like, oh, the things, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm the oldest, but you know how you carry the extra things like for your brothers or your family or whatever. And so there are times where I'm like, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. And then the enemy wants to remind us of that, wants to remind us of the times that we missed it. But you know, in the Bible, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if the enemy comes to you with tormenting thoughts about the things that you did, remind him, no, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, our third benefit is he redeems our life from destruction. And some Bible translation says from the pit. He's redeemed our life from death, death and decay. Jesus bought us by his blood. He redeemed us, right? He bought us back. When David fought Goliath, everybody expected who to win? Goliath, right? But who ended up winning? David. David was saved. He was redeemed from destruction, from death. I got to tell you a story about my oldest son that just happened recently. He went to Lake Tahoe, and you know, last weekend what happened at Lake Tahoe. Well, on Friday night, he sent me a video, and it was him jumping into the water off some kind of like platform kind of thing. And he says he didn't notice the sign, but the sign said no jumping, no diving, right? He didn't dive, but he did jump in. And so immediately I prayed for him. I prayed for his protection and the friends that he's with. He went with the people from a small group. He goes to Soul City. And they went there because one of their friends had, father had a house there. So they were all enjoying that. And so when I seen that video, I immediately prayed. Well, then the next day, he and his friends, they have a boat, and they went out onto Lake Tahoe. And he said when they went out, the water was crystal clear. and smooth. And but the friend, thank the Lord, noticed that it looked like a storm was coming in. And so they turned around, and he said, you know, this lake being so massive, it's not just a quick trip to the shore. It takes, you know, like an hour or so to get back. So they started back, and they got onto the shore, and they were safe. But you've heard the news about what happened about the, I think it's 8 people that passed away. So I am thanking God. When I was preparing this message, the Lord kind of reminded me of that God kept Joshua safe from destruction. And that's one of the benefits. You know, we need to pray and speak that over our children, right? That he redeems our life from destruction. You know, in Psalms 103, verse 4, where it talks about he redeems our life from destruction, guess what it says? That he has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's all part of the same verse. And that is so cool to think about. Not only did he save our life from destruction, but he crowned us with his loving kindness and tender mercy. Just picture that. Jesus putting a crown on your head, right? We are bought back from eternal life, and God crowned us with love and mercy. That's all a part of God's benefit package. The fourth benefit I want to talk about is he satisfies our mouth with good things. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." God satisfies both our physical needs and our spiritual needs. He fills us with his goodness, joy, and peace, and he wants good things for us. Just like you as earthly parents want good things for your kids, our Heavenly Father wants good things for us. The fifth benefit is he renews our youth like the eagles. Everybody over 50, say amen. Yes. The eagle is a symbol of strength, right? It's a symbol of power in the Bible. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So as you picture an eagle soaring to great heights, you know, with powerful wings, that's how we need to see ourselves soaring. And then the last benefit I want to talk to you about is the Lord is merciful. This is Psalm 103, verse 8. And gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. And this is where I want to speak a few minutes about God's mercy. It's so powerful. The definition of mercy is God's compassionate withholding of deserved punishment and the extension of unmerited favor, often manifested as forgiveness and grace. That same psalm that we're talking about, 103, verse 10, it says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Isn't that good news? That doesn't mean that we don't face consequences. Like if you stole something, you probably go to jail. But God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't see you by any sins that you've committed. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve, right? We are getting everything that Jesus deserved. But because he took our sins, then we are free, right? We have God's mercy. Mercy is not getting the punishment that we deserve. Again, it's because of Jesus. He took our judgment. He took our sins. He already paid the price for our sins. Remember, they're as far as the east is from the west. The scripture tells us how much mercy he has for us in several places, and this is where it gets so good. It's all in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 11 says, "As for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him." In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." In Psalm 103, 17 says, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." Now, we've just seen two verses where it talks about on those who fear him. This isn't being afraid of God. This is being reverent. This is being in awe of God. And then it talks about his righteousness to our children's children. So that means my kids, my grandkids, right? It's a generational thing. It's so cool. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. That means that every day when you wake up, God's mercies are new, just waiting for you. So if you go to bed and you're sad, you wake up knowing that God's mercy is just amazing. I'm going to finish with the parable of the prodigal son. And you guys have all probably heard the story about a father who had two sons, and the youngest son asked his father for his inheritance, and the father gave it to him. And the Bible says that he spent all of that inheritance. He spent all the money he had on reckless living. And so then he had to take a job, and he took a job feeding pigs. And he noticed that the pigs were eating better than he was. And the Bible says that he came to his senses, and he said, you know, I need to go back home, and I can tell my father, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I can be like a servant. So he decided to head home. And the Bible says that when he was far away, the father seen him. That means he was looking for his son to come home. So he's seen him, and he gets ready to tell his dad, you know, I'm sorry, I sinned against heaven, I sinned against you. But guess what the dad did? He went and embraced him. He put a robe on him. He put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. And he killed the fatted calf so they could have a feast. The father showed mercy to the son. He didn't shun him. He didn't make him suffer a while. It just goes to show us that that's how God is with us. The father ran to him and embraced him and celebrated that his son returned home. God shows us mercy. He embraces us when we return to him. He doesn't give us guilt or shame. That's from the enemy. God does not condemn us. And when you think about like a building in Detroit or Flint, you know, and it gets condemned, it's got a label on it, condemned. You know, God doesn't do that to us. We are not labeled by the things we have done wrong. When God sees us, he's looking through the lens of Jesus. It reminds me of when I was in eighth grade. I went to Scranton Middle School, which is now, I think, the Brighton Administration Building. But in my eighth grade science class with Mr. Dahlberg, he had us prick our finger with those little lancet things and squeeze out a drop of blood and put it on a clear slide and put it under the microscope to look at it. Well, you know what? That's how God sees us. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see us as scarlet, you know, like the scarlet letter. He sees us as white as snow. And it's so powerful to think that we don't have to carry shame. We don't have to carry guilt for the things that we've done. We are white as snow in God's eyes.